You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and James Millman with you on this edition, looking ahead to the best of Sunday's racing. Racing on Sunday, coming from Newtownabbot at Redcar Stratford and over the Irish Sea at Fairy House and Tipperary as well. It's one of the typical Sundays, James, that we get sort of midway through the flat season where jumps racing is almost to the fore.
Yeah, actually it's pretty rare. Saturday we've got two jump meetings today, but like you say, Sundays generally are dominated by the jump ratings, and obviously generally abroad perhaps the better racing is elsewhere on the flat, so let's let the jockeys go there.
Yeah,
and does give some of the flat staff a Sunday off, so I can kind of see why. Make it a little bit tricky sometimes from a punting perspective, but I'll say that's the way it is at the moment.
Can I be completely honest? I don't mind summer jumping sometimes.
Do you not mind?
I think...
there's a little secret from Alex. Alex Dunn.
From a punting point of view, though, I think it's not easy. Well, but
you get the same horses generally running week in, week out.
It's why some people really enjoy betting on Suddle.
Yep, definitely.
During the winter months. So that kind of idea anyway. But of course, we start the racing podcast with some really sad news from yesterday at Haydock, obviously. With the incident with the stalls handler, Stephen Yarborough. I mean, there's not a lot that we can say, obviously, on the podcast, other than condolences to his family and colleagues. Awful incident, James.
Yeah, very, very tragic that something like that can happen. Very, very sad accident, I say. Very much thoughts with family, friends, and a lot all in racing, because stall handlers, it's a very, very small world in racing, everybody knows everybody, so it's certainly hit a lot of people quite hard.
Yeah, absolutely. So condolences with family and friends there. As for yourself, Mr. Millman, and Team Millman, been ticking along quite nicely, haven't you, in recent weeks, and you were just saying off air that Tors, grand old servant of yours, has been winning over hurdles.
Yeah, she won at Worcester.
Oh, she, sorry.
On Tuesday.
I always forget that she's a she.
She is. She's quite tough. She's more like a gelding, to be fair. But no, she's back with the old man, and she won quite nicely at Worcester in her mare's maiden the other day. She's back on the flat for Glorious Goodwood for the 2 mile 5 furlong handicap, which she was second in a couple of years ago. She was also second to Queen Alexandra back in 2015. She stays forever.
Mm.
Ironically, she actually won over a 2 mile over hurdles, and you'd think she'd won 3.5 mile over hurdles. But bearing in mind on the flat, she's best over the extreme 2.5 and 2.6. So I'd say she's stepping up in trip, going on the flat, which I think she's the only horse to do that. But it's a good confidence booster, and we look forward to taking her to Glorious Goodwood.
And is that the only serious contender that you've got for Goodwood?
I think so. There's a few handicaps there.
I was going to say,
we might have a few runners in, but nothing in any of the major races. Master Carpenter race just didn't work out for him at all. To York in the John Smith, trying to get his title back. Unfortunately, even though there's 20 runners and a big handicap on a Saturday, he went very, very slow. They're all in a massive bunch. He was out wide, seeing daylight. He only actually got beat 5 lengths in the end, but I think he ended up about 12th. So just a bit of a mess of a race, which is very, very rare, because normally at York, they're pretty well spread out at the home straight.
And it could well be that we'll be waiting a good few months, maybe even years, for his handicap mark to drop down again, because he is that kind of tough, consistent performer.
That is the problem. Hopefully the handicap does drop him a bit, because he put him up £10 for his win at the Dante meeting, which in one go is a fair, hefty amount. But
he was very impressive then.
He was, but that's why I was so angry when he won that easily, Alex.
If you weren't listening to Racing Radio and you've not heard since, I was on air with James on the day that Master Carpenter absolutely sluiced up, didn't it?
He won very easily.
And I was being...
You're berating
being the young, naive soul that I am, I couldn't understand why James wasn't absolutely cock-a-hoop that the horse had won. But... but no, hopefully he can return to winning.
It was great he won. He just needs to win by a short head. That's the perfect scenario.
And if Tors does the same at Goodwood, I'm sure that we won't hear James complaining.
Nope, we definitely won't.
Right, as for Sunday's racing, the summer jumpers, as we mentioned, coming to the fore. We're looking at one race at Stratford, one at Newton Abbott, in fact two at Newton Abbott, and one at Redcar as well. We'll start with the 3:10 at Stratford, and I'll be completely honest with you here, listeners. This is take two of this race, because myself and Mr. Millman have just been discussing the race, and as live, we're recording this at 2 o'clock on Saturday, breaking as of now is that the top weight definite future is out of the race. Which means that the rest of them are all of a sudden carrying very light weights for no real reason.
It's a very, very different contest, isn't it?
Yeah.
Than what we said 5 minutes ago.
Yes.
definite future.
It was great as well, listeners. You should have been here.
It was perfect.
It's the best
stuff.
Preview James has ever done.
But 11 stone 12, he doesn't run, so it means top weight now is 10 stone 5. And they've all got nearly the minimum weight.
Ooh.
And it is very open. It's a shame for Stratford, they put on 20 grand and only four runners now, so that's a little bit disappointing, I think.
Evan Williams got a strong hand now, though. Well, he did anyway.
He's definitely got Arthur Field, so he'd be really disappointed if he doesn't come home with the money. But I'm actually going to go for the Twiston Davis runner, Red River Man, who's had a bit of time off a track, but back from an absence, finished second on his return, and then won pretty nicely last time out. Handicap has only put him up £6, which isn't excessive. The £3 claim of Jamie Bargery certainly helps that, kind of negates it, I suppose.
Mm.
And a horse who was rated much, much higher in his younger days, 125 at his peak, Red River Man. The fact now he's at 117 suggests he should be perfectly capable of winning off that kind of mark. So for me, he's going to be hard to beat. I think he's got a nice chance here. Like you say, Evan Williams has got a strong hand in the contest. Probably the best one of those two is the younger horse, the six-year-old Cape Caster, who has been in good form in the summer. Won on his first outing. Probably a little bit disappointing when he finished third last time. That's just a handicapper. Might just have got hold of him now. But
one of those horses that I'm amazed that he's managed to forge a career over fences.
Well, bearing in mind the flat career he started off at.
He was quite smart on the flat, to be honest.
Yeah,
smart enough, anyway.
Rafe Beckett trained him originally on the flat.
And then I remember him winning, actually, on Hurdle's debut at Foss Lass, and that was, I think that was just before Christmas 2014.
It was 15th of December, Alex.
There you go. I think I actually backed him on that occasion.
Oh, that's because it's a winner.
Last one I had, I think. but it was an absolutely bloodless victory, and you thought, oh, hang on, this horse has got a fair bit of speed, and you can see it doing well over hurdles. Whether you won it over fences, I must admit, I wouldn't have been like, you know, yes, get it there. But at the same time, a track like Stratford could well play to the horse's strengths. He's a very speedy performer.
Yeah, definitely. He's got a little bit of an edge, perhaps over proper chasers like Red River Man, especially on summer ground, because obviously he has got that bit of flat speed. Of the other one, Can I Call You Back? Most people say no, but this one's just been a little bit out of form, to be fair. Connor Ring's £3 claim will be needed, but he is dropping in the handicap now. On his old form, he would have a chance, and arguably now he's got top weight. Of 10 stone 5 of Cape Caster. So he is interesting, but I think Red River Man can build on that recent win 12 days ago, and he is the one to beat.
Okay, so Red River Man, the selection in the 3:10 from Stratford. We'll stay jumping, and we'll go to Newton Abbott now for the 4:20 race. This is a handicap chase over the extended 3 mile and 1 furlong trip. Just going back to non-runners, by the way, hopefully we're managing to pick horses that are running, but the weather in the last, 12
rain
hours, certainly. I can't speak for the rest of the country, but certainly up where we are in Leeds, it's been pretty grim so far on Saturday. So wouldn't be surprised if fields do cut up. But
Especially summer jumping as well, because you're keeping these horses in over the summer because they want fast ground, pure and simple. And
so fingers crossed the races aren't cutting up too much.
That would be the worry. Mm. But Newton Abbott, race in there tomorrow. Always good prize money.
And Newton Abbott, this 4:20, there's plenty of these arrive here in really, really good nick.
Definitely so. We've got to mention the top weight, that is Nigel Hawke's Colin de Brise, who's won two of his last three starts. Really proven quite progressive, to be honest, for Nigel Hawke. Kieran Geffen is a concern for me. 12 stone 3, he's got a lot of weight, especially if the rain has got into the ground at Newton Abbott. That would be my slight concern for him. Interesting runner is the 10-year-old Patrick Tom Beru, who had a really, really good spell point-to-pointing, winning three in a row. And he's not done too bad under rules. Eye-catching jockey booking, Mitchell Bastion, I think, is a £7 claimer. He could be one of those to emerge as a star this season. He takes a ride, and I think he can go one better than we're finishing second at Newton Abbott last time out on his first run for Evan Williams. So second start for the yard. I think he's probably going to be the one to beat. As I say, he's a prolific point-to-point winner, 10 winners in the point-to-point sphere.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Mitchell Bastion as well. James Bowen, who rides Strumblehead, is another one who's been very highly touted.
Only 16, I think, James Bowen.
And comes from good stock.
He does indeed. Younger brother of Sean, obviously son of Peter Bowen. He's attached to that yard, so he does claim a valuable £10 on his ride.
You'd think the horse would need it, though, on this occasion.
He would need it, but £10 is a hefty amount of weight. He's a 12-year-old Strumblehead now, but like I say, mentioning jockeys, keep an eye on James Bowen. I probably think that the one right at the bottom, Bouveron, is a bigger danger to Evan Williams' runner. This one trained by Martin Hill, trainer in the West Country, has plenty of winners at Newton Abbot. He tries to target his horses for that meeting, and that'll be the main danger to Patrick Tombaroo, but I think Evan Williams' horse can go one better back at Newton Abbot.
Okay, just one more to throw at you. Nicky one Henderson's more. Runner. A tale of intrigue.
He is a bit of a tale of intrigue.
Well, he certainly isn't a stable star, let's put it that way, but has the blinkers on for the first time here. And plenty of people will see Nicky Henderson, Summer Jumpers, and go, oh, yes, please. Just the fact that they're turning up is an indication enough that the horse has got a chance. And at least the last run was... Well, I was going to say slightly more like it. We've seen this before with
better.
The Tale of Intrigue.
He's P3, so do a P, to be honest. Mm. He's just been disappointing, hasn't he? Nicky's kept him.
He's only been with him for four runs, formerly with Ian Williams, but Ian Williams couldn't really find the key to him. Won a few races for him, but...
High of 127.
It's just a bit of an enigma almost.
Exactly, that was the word I was going to use as well. That third at Sandown back in March, you'd certainly give him every chance, but he's a beaten favourite last time. They're putting blinkers on for the first time. For me, it's a little bit of a last chance saloon kind of thing, so that'd be a little bit of a concern for me with a Tale of Intrigue.
Okay, so you're going to stick with Patrick Tombaroo?
Patrick Tombaroo.
Okay, we'll stay at Newton Abbot. The 450 is a handicap hurdle over the extended 2 mile, 2 furlong trip. And there's one standout here, to be honest with you, and that is Theo, who's been in fantastic nick. Has won his last two for Dr. Richard Newland. Sam Twiston Davies on board. That was having switched from... trained over in Ireland, wasn't he, Theo, before that? And has really benefited from moving to Richard Newland. We've seen him do this with horses before.
Not a new thing, is it?
No, but that said, for all I said, there is one standout. There is also one standout rival, if you like, and that is, again, from a respected yards, Paul Nichols and Bryony Frost teaming up with Bastori Donor, who bounced back to form in no uncertain terms last time that was here and may have just benefited from being in a slightly less warm race, perhaps. May have benefited from summer ground, but it's actually quite a good race.
Yeah, now it's interesting. The race, like you say, Theo, a horse was pretty inconsistent over in Ireland, struggling to get his head in front. Switched to England, switched to Dr. Newland, saw him immediately make a winning return at Worcester, then followed up unpenalised because it was a kids' race. He won first time out to win quite comfortably. But handicap has had his say, up another £9. And he's got a rival which is inconsistent in Bristol D'Honneur. But in a latest race at Newton Abbot, he won pretty nicely last time. Interesting enough, Bryony Frost, who obviously won on Pasha de Polder in the Foxhunter, she's now turned professional.
Mm.
So she's given it a proper go. Paul Nichols has given her plenty of support. Her first winner actually came in these colours at Worcester, I think, the other day for Paul Nichols. And very, very interesting that she's turning pro. That £5 claim seemed to get a good tune out of him last time. So back against professionals. Very interesting to see how he gets on. I'd probably take a chance on Bristowari D'Honneur because, like I say, he's got a bit of class. And Theo is now £9 higher. And he's going to be a skinny price because he's won his last two and is the Dr. Newland trained runner. But Dr. Newland can't work miracles all the time and he might have just have got the two wins out of him already.
Okay. Just one more to mention, Retrieve here, who is... I don't think this was the plan for Retrieve early on in its career when it was with Godolphin and it was performing really quite well in some very, very good races. Went to John Ferguson, didn't really do a great deal with him, although did win here at Stratford.
We're
at Newton Abbot. Did win at Stratford then. and then since he's been with Jamie Osborne and has got a bit of a reputation for being a little bit difficult.
He is indeed. Refused to race in a cellar last time out. But like you say, that shorter hurdling career with John Ferguson wasn't devoid of promise, was it really?
No, not completely, but
that's looking at it from now.
Yeah.
At the time, it probably was disappointing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, from now, he has certainly disappointed. But ultimately, his last win actually came in at a pretty competitive handicap hurdle at Musselburgh at the Cheltenham Trials meeting off a mark of 120.
Ooh.
Off that same mark today, hard to know exactly what he's going to achieve. But he did win twice in selling company for Jamie Osborne until he completely refused to go the other day. Very interesting to see how he gets on for Carroll Gray. Hopefully, for a yard, there's a few issues. He could prove a little bit of a money spinner, but I think it's a watching brief tomorrow.
Okay, and you're sticking with Bastori Donal.
That is the one for me.
Okay. Paul Nicholls runner in the 450 from Newton Abbott. We'll just jump back in time a little bit, and we'll focus on the flats for one race, the 430 from Redcar.
Well, Alex Dunn's a Redcar specialist, so really you should be previewing this contest. Your favourite flat track, isn't it, Alex?
It is indeed, and I haven't had an in-depth look at the card tomorrow, but hopefully I can have a winner or two. While you're talking, I'll see if I can find a winner of this race.
You can put me wrong.
430 Redcar, handicap over 6 furlongs, 9 of them set to go to post. There's no non-runners that you found in this one, are there, Jay?
No.
Not yet,
so
anyway.
So far, they're all standing their ground.
It's a fairly open race. We'll start with Art Obsession, purely because it's now won 2 of its last 3.
Yeah, and Paul Midgley, real good trainer sprinters, isn't he? That's what his USP is as such. That's what he's been doing really well with at the moment. And obviously, Art Obsession's one of those. Won 2 of his last 3 starts in pretty good form. Hasn't actually won a track. You do like to have a little bit of Redcar form. And to be fair, there's only actually 2 of them to have, Singer and Funding Deficit. And neither particularly come here in strong form. One's a 10-year-old, and Jim Gordy's is badly out of form. So that might not be such a negative for Art Obsession, who, like I say, is proven pretty progressive this season. He's actually won 3 times now for Paul Midgley. And I think he's got an obvious chance as long as he's as effective at Redcar. Because his only run here, he did finish a little bit disappointingly, 9th of 10. Last year, so that's a little bit of a concern, and the handicap is obviously moving up the weights a little bit now after a mark of 82. That's the highest he's been for quite a while, so that'll be a slight concern. Musica is one that's inconsistent. David O'Mara's filly on a going day, she looks very, very good, but unfortunately she's bombed out after each of those 2 wins. I'm sure Andrew Mount would have a stat saying she can't win after a win or whatever, but you never know exactly what's going to happen. On a 3-year-old, sometimes it's hard for 3-year-olds against the older sprinters. That's a little bit of a worry. So I'm actually going to go for Zappa Class, Tony Coyle's runner, who won 2 starts back. A little bit disappointing last time out when only finishing 7th. And he does have a inconsistent profile, but
he's still fairly, well, not unexposed, but certainly is in Britain.
Yeah, definitely.
And we sort of don't, it could well be that in a year's time we're looking at the horse's rating right now and going, oh, that was kind.
Well, interesting, he's running in the colours of Caspian Prince, his owner, Stephen Lausch, and he was a horse that used to run over 1.25 miles in France, and now he's the fastest horse in the world, nearly.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a 4-furlong races. But this one, trained by Tony Coyle, won nicely at Nottingham on soft ground. Disappointed at Hamilton last time, I'm not sure why, but if he can bounce back, he'd be interesting. With rain around, the ground could be a little bit softer, so I'll take a chance on a Zappa Class. And an interesting feature race there at Redcar.
It is indeed.
Any thoughts on your side?
Yes, I think the first one that we mentioned, Art Obsession.
Art Obsession, you go for the side.
Well, heck of a lot of beating there.
Concern is just that one run at Redcar last year was slightly below par, but I'd say interesting.
There is one fascinating runner.
Sterner Folker.
Yeah.
I don't know where he's been.
Well, we were just talking about Caspian Prince. Of course, won the Dash 2 years in a row now.
Yep.
Sterner Folker won it in 2012 and has been off the scene for 809 days. He's coming back now with Lucinda Edgerton. And he's one of those horses that you just forget about and you just presume has retired.
Yep.
And that's not the case. Although, that said, even before that long enforced absence, well, we're assuming it's an enforced absence, the horse wasn't in flying form. Would need to go back to it would be one heck of a bounce back if it could win this.
That would be a great training performance from Lucinda Edgerton. Obviously, John Best used to train it originally. Now a 9-year-old, 809 days off a track, I think they'd just be clean, pleased with a clean round, to be honest. But I'd say fascinating to see him back.
But you're going to stick with Zappa Cass.
Zappa Class is the one for me.
Or even Cass, James.
Zappa Cass. There's no L. I'd need to stick the stronger prescription, I think, than the old glasses.
Right, can you spin us through your 4 fancies for Sunday's racing, please, James?
I suppose we possibly can. Stratford, the 3.10, the feature of the whole day, 20 grand handicap. We're going to go for Red River Man. I think he can follow up that success 12 days ago for Nigel Twiston Davis. Noon Albert, nice little card down in the West Country. We've done two races, the 4:20. I think Patrick Tom Baru can go one better than his second at Noon Albert 16 days ago, and a good £7 claim of Mitchell Bastion. And then the 4:50, Bryony Frost, now a conditional. She's one from one as a conditional so far. I think she might win again on Bristori d'Honneur for Paul Nichols. And then finally, there is the feature red card of 4:30, and we've gone for Zappa Cass, not Zappa Class, for Tony Coyle.
And if you weren't sick of my voice already, I'm on Racing Radio tomorrow presenting. But I'm not with you, James Millman. I am with John Budden and Gareth Topham. So make sure you join me, listeners, for a decent day of action. Just it's a nice Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, a pleasant Sunday.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, James.
No problem.
For joining me. Best luck with your fancies on Sunday. The same to you, listeners, and we'll catch up with you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.